Once the empire on which the sun never set, the United Kingdom now stands at a prophetic crossroads. This is The Sun Sets on the United Kingdom, from Crown to Crisis, with our UK expert contributor Mark Sutherland.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxson there on the left-hand side of your screen in New York. And as you heard in the introduction there, we are also joined today by our expert contributor, co-host as well here on The Last Christian, Mr. Mark Sutherland. Mark's got so many credits over there. I'm ashamed. I'm not even gonna say all the crap that you're in because I'm not in any of it. So anyway, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. It's lovely to be here. Good to see you, my friends. And JD, fire it off. Where do you want to start? That title, that title is rather interesting. Well, all I can say is, as far as I'm concerned, as much as this may not be welcomed by many people's ears, I just feel that our country is under judgment big time.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that, Mark. I'm going to butt in on you and hold you up for a second, because when I unleash you, I'm going to unleash you, okay? So, would you give us, please, a prayer to get us into this and to make sure that this message does get out across the entire world?
No, I hear you. I hear you. Let's do that.
Put your microphone closer.
Father, thank you. I'm bringing my microphone closer.
Here we go.
Thanks, David. Father, we just bring this show to you. I thank you for my dear friends here, for JD and David, and that we can come together. We can have a laugh, but we also need to really focus on you and focus on what is happening in the world. So just give us the words to say. May it be a real encouragement to all the people that listen to this. And we just pray that, just give us some feedback. Tell us what you're learning. Tell us what you're getting out of it. That'd be really great. So Holy Spirit, just invade, give us your peace about this show and protect it technically. Thank you for what David and JD do. It's much appreciated. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, Mark, I'm going to put up some topics here, okay?
Now, I want to talk about the Empire. Are we going into Star Wars? Or?
Well, the Empire, we are going to start with the Empire, the one that once ruled the waves. That's even back before Mark was around. Then we'll talk about the fall of moral authority, something that the three of us have talked about offline a few times. The political and cultural breakdown that's going on over there, and then a nation at the crossroads of prophecy. And, you know, where normally we kind of break this down into segments, but that's not how it works with Mark. What we do with Mark is we say, okay, here's where we're going to start. Go. And so here we are, Mark. We're at that point now where I get to unleash you on the world, right? So get ready. Get
and
ready
get to
gallop. Okay? And I see he's building up, and before he blows up, Mark, it is all yours, sir. Go for it.
You may be fully aware that we had an appalling incident last Thursday in Manchester, where a terrorist, because he is a terrorist, decided to ram his car into Jewish parishioners, so to speak, Jewish people that were attending a synagogue there. Number of people injured, and sadly, out of that, two people died. What had happened is this jihadi turned up after ramming his car into members of the congregation outside. Then it looked like he had a bomb vest on, which turned to be false. This was about 9:30 in the morning on Thursday, and about 11 minutes later, if I've got my facts right, he was then shot dead by our specialist police force that we do have. We do have them that have guns, and they then go around various areas assigned to their particular police forces. So they went in there, and sadly, one of the people that died, I think, was a bullet ricocheting from the police officer who actually shot the terrorist as well. So really very, very sad incident, to say the least. But the appalling thing about this is that people have been warning that something like this could happen. Mm-hmm. I don't say that very lightly. It did really upset me, understandably, on Thursday. And we have seen since tomorrow, as we're recording this, we would have had the 7th of October, 2 years of the anniversary of the attack in Israel, where Hamas came over the border, killed just over 1,200 Israeli citizens and took 250 hostages. The hostages are still, some of those are still in Gaza. There's still 50 hostages that are not being released. I understand, I think if we work it out, there might be 20 that are still alive. The rest, sadly, died. And understandably, the Israeli authorities want all the everyone back. They want all the dead bodies back. Excuse me. Is closure for the families. And we are also aware of the peace deal that Trump has put on the table. But I'll come to that. We may come to that later. But since the 7th of October, immediately, we've discussed this before, there were pro-Palestine type people outside Israel's embassy, you know, protesting, show restraint and all this kind of thing. And that we have then seen pro-Palestine marches on the streets of London, on the streets of Glasgow, in Edinburgh, other major cities, Birmingham, other major cities in this country, and of course other major cities around the world, Canada, Australia, with you guys as well, and without. Not that I'm going to reveal my undisclosed location secretly here, but when you drive around and you suddenly come across huge Palestinian flags on flagpoles, and you're just going, oh my goodness, you are kidding me. And I, like you, since the 7th of October, we have been trying to put over facts about what's going on, to say that there is no genocide, to say that there is no starvation, to say that the Gaza Humanitarian Fund has been doing a great job in providing millions and millions of meals for the Gazans for free, to take the food away from the UN, where the Hamas then steal those trucks and then they use that food to sell to people living in Gaza and to raise money, and it perpetuates the war machine. So we have all been trying to point out these facts. We were pointing out early on in this war, when the Israelis were accused of firing on a hospital. No, they didn't. It was a Hamas rocket that was fired off. It ended up in a car park, and then within seconds, they're saying 512 people died. No, they didn't. And all this kind of thing. And then we've combated, you know, they've said 68,000 people have died. All the figures that come out of Gaza are through the Hamas given. They're not going to say how many terrorists have died. We've also seen the when they've released hostages, these big staged events, and the Red Cross going in there and they're getting them to sign over the hostage over to the Red Cross, and then they've been awarding them with awards. I mean, the whole thing is just sick. Mm-hmm. Then we saw the pictures of one of the hostages who pray is still alive. Mm-hmm. And there he is digging his own grave, looking like skull and bones. So all of this within the context, and then within the British context, putting the eye on that, is that soon after this event on the 7th of October, the posters were put up in London to say, to find the hostages, to raise awareness of what had gone on. And then we saw that British Muslims then ripping these posters down. They've been denying ever since that any of this happened, that babies were not thrown in ovens and all the other despicable things that have gone on. They've been denying that. So we have had then 2 years of every other Saturday, if not every other Saturday, there is this pro-Palestine march from the river to the sea, which means we'll wipe out Israel. So when you are chanting things like that, and I'm sure David could give more of an input on this as well, and you, JD, because it's like, and I'm speaking to myself, when you're chanting things like that, it's a bit like if we're speaking over ourselves in a very negative way, right? In other words, what certain things that are coming out of our mouths, how we're declaring it. Because when they are shouting things like that, they are declaring things into the atmosphere. And to me, they are then declaring things from the enemy in this battle that we are in. Now, I read an article today, which I thought was very, very powerful. Historically, the Jewish people, round about, whether it's 1250, were kicked out of this country. They were expelled from this country. Then, under Oliver Cromwell during 1640-ish, then brought the Jewish people back into this land without making too much of a song and dance about it. To me, I believe as nations, we are really blessed when we have Jewish people in our nation. Right. Now, as much as people who believe in a replacement theology, Genesis 12 makes it very clear. If you bless my people, I will bless you. If you curse my people, I will curse you. Mm-hmm. No matter what Tucker Carlson says, and he needs to read it. To read scripture.
I'd like to chime in on that for a second, if I could.
Go.
Because a lot of the false narrative that they use is, that was said to Abraham. That was just for Abraham. It wasn't for his offspring. But if you go back and read it, it clearly says, because he's talking about Isaac at the time. And he's like, okay, now he goes to bring Isaac up. And he says, I will bless you and your seed, and you'll be a blessing to all the nations. And then Isaac reiterates that down to Jacob as well. So it wasn't just there. It was the language in the Hebrew specifically states this was for his entire offspring. So that's just a lame argument. If someone says it's for Abraham alone, it wasn't for the whole nation. They just haven't read their Bible and they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, we to jump in as well.
Thank you.
We just had a show on that about a week ago on the we have a week a midweek Bible study. And so I would encourage people to go to lancechristian.net. You got a choice of three different video providers there, so you can choose your favorite. And you can find that Bible teaching. I believe it was a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been two. Mm-hmm. But if you follow the Bible study, you're in on that. And that's it for me. I'm out for now. Go ahead, Mark or David, whoever wants to go.
No, at all. I think what you've just said is so important, both of you, because we are in this biggest propaganda war going. And this propaganda war was kicked off, you could argue, round about 1987, where this whole thing, because the Hamas is, you know, if you look, is the Muslim Brotherhood, as far as I'm concerned, and the whole attitude, the whole ethos, is to wipe out Israel and to wipe out every single Jew on the earth. That is what they wish to do. And let's just remind ourselves, in between the last 2 years, you know, Israel has dealt with Hezbollah, has dealt with the Houthis, has then had rockets coming in from Iran, has then, with America flying their special airplanes over there, has bombed three facilities in regard to Iran. we're then seeing the Iranian Republican Guard, you know, do some bombings in Australia. They're now banned from Australia. People have woken up to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood, I think, founded in 1924-5. And then, of course, we've got the other blood libel, the Protocols of Zion, where everyone is going, it's the Jews, and blaming them for owning everything. And including the media. Well, I have to say, if they were owning all the media, then their PR would be a lot better than they are actually.
Yeah, that's something,
doing.
You know, I hear that a lot, that Israel controls the media. Well, if they did, you wouldn't be so anti-Semitic. Right here, real quick, while I've got an opportunity, I want to let everybody know that Mark does have a show. It's called The Sutherland Report, and you can find that at revelationradio.net. It's revelationradio.net. At 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central every day. And if you're over there in the UK, it's 7 p.m. in the United Kingdom. And I would strongly encourage everybody to do that. Again, that's revelationradio.net, and just look for The Sutherland Report. And that's Mark's show, and I'm happy to have it, Mark. It's a good one.
Well, JD, thank you, and I really do appreciate it very much indeed, like us having a conversation now. So with all of that backdrop, as I say, there's appalling events in Manchester, and then we have the usual platitudes from certain politicians or people not going near their Twitter feeds, not going near a microphone, because they really realise that when you are the Prime Minister of the UK and you have decided to recognize a state that doesn't exist, it doesn't have a border, it does not adhere itself to any of the Montevideo Convention. The Montevideo Convention of 1933 lays out very much the definition of a state, and we're now in a situation, I believe, in this country where there is a huge divide. And as someone wrote a very good article to say that the last time in 300 years, there'd only been two incidents like this, where the last time, according to this particular writer, a Jewish person was killed by a fascist orientated person was in, I think, in 1960. And then we have just had this on the streets of our country. What I'm saying is that they were distinctly going for Jewish people, even though before that there has been threats. There has been people driving through a particular town called Bradford saying very unhealthy, very anti-Semitic, very threatening words. And we've also seen in this country, you know, ISIS flags on the streets and another Hamas-orientated flag type symbols, etc. And when you, after October the 7th, when you saw, you know, that man in Australia celebrating by the Opera House, saying how it, you know, pleased him, the events of what's happened. This is the kind of people we are dealing with. And this awful event, on the same day, there was then a pro-Palestine march in Whitehall near 10 Downing Street. There was another one in Manchester. I find the insensitivity off the charts is just beyond words to me. However, in one sense, some of these people feel very emboldened. As we've just seen at the weekend, I think on Sunday there were 3,000 people gathered together in Trafalgar to remember what happened on October the 7th, as it's coming up to the second anniversary of that. But anyway, awful. Then it's just the way people have conducted themselves on the streets. It's meant we seem to be two-tier policing has been a big accusation there. But the other thing is the government then decided to ban a group, quite rightly, called Palestine Action. And it seems to be a load of, there were 512 arrests just recently in London over this. Most of them seem to be, you know, middle-class people that might have been a member of Greenpeace in the past. And when you talk to these people, you can't talk to them. They don't want to talk to you. But it's like, do they actually know the facts and what's going on? And the biggest event, they don't. And the biggest, JD, the biggest event that has just happened is this whole thing of this flotilla that has gone in that was trying to, as they said, break a blockade led by Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, that
pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah. She yeah. got deported.
Anyway, so
yeah. I think yeah, she's a tranny. Did.
She may be. Guys, I'm going to break in here because there's a couple of points I want to make real quick, Mark, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you again. Mm. But what I had already produced here is the fact that Great Britain used to be very spiritual. You know, you got the King James Bible came from there, missionary movements, the moral compass, really, of everything. The Industrial Revolution, the victory in two world wars, Britain stood as a beacon of law, liberty, and faith. I mean, that's pretty strong stuff, you know, to go from that to where it has gone now is pretty sad. I also made a couple of notes here real quick. And you were talking about some people were celebrating this. It's kind of like the Charlie Kirk thing. People were celebrating that too. You know, that wakes up to me the Bible where it says evil. People look as evil as good and good as evil. I mean, that's kind of a check mark on that one right there. Another one was people are saying that words lead to violence. And you were talking about that as well, that there was a lot of words being spoken. And then you had this event. So I got a couple more notes, but that's enough for me for right now. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you.
Well, the Bible also talks about ethnos be ethnos, and we are concerned about using that phrase about the balkanization of our country. You have, quite rightly, deer concerns that are going on in Dearborn, Michigan. Mm-hmm. You also have concerns about what is happening in Texas as well. And quite rightly, you need to be concerned, as we are. That's been going on, and we have uncontrolled immigration coming into this country. And when you put those points up about my country, I love my country. However, when you put those up, I'm going to say a really, really uncomfortable thing that will not go down well with some. The bottom line is, I believe that we are massively under judgment. And when we were given the mandate, then as it was called, Palestine, and we all know 132, the temple is pulled down, the Jewish people are expelled from the land, and then off they go into what is the dispersal, the diaspora, to be spread around the world. This is, we've got to remember this. And then when we look at the history, we Transjordan, which became Jordan, the Hashemite kingdom, that is really where that is the land for the people that will call themselves Palestinians. Palestinianism was invented in 1964, along with the flag, if I've got certain aspects of that history right. Up until that point, they were Arabs. They had been offered a two-state solution four times. The practicality of that was Gaza, and we look at how that has actually then played out. Our role as the Britain, when we were given the mandate, Churchill ended up giving away 78% of the land that was promised to the Jewish people. We also, under, you know, there was this whole thing of the Ottoman Empire collapsing. We're creating nation states, Iraq, Iran, etc., and a land for the Jewish people. And after the Second World War, then on the 14th of May 1948, Israel was declared as a nation. At that time, they did not have Gaza, and then they're immediately attacked. They miraculously they win that war. But we, I believe, are under judgment. We have been judged because we divided the land in the wrong way and not in the way that God was asking us to do. Mm-hmm. And that does not go down very well with people that may not understand when I believe this. David, whether you support me in this, where it says, you know, Isaiah 66 says, can I make a nation in a day? Yes, I can. The fact mm-hmm. that prophetically, I am going to draw the Jewish people back to their indigenous homeland. Mm-hmm. That is it. That's why the opposition are so upset when Israelis start digging and doing archaeological digs and finding out the fact that their history goes back to 3,500 years. And the other people do not like this. There were Arabs in the land. We can go through the whole thing of the history. We can go through the San Remo conference. We can then, when the UN is going, no, here's a nation. And when the whole thing that it then has got immersed in this political quagmire at times, making some awful decisions. But one thing I will say, and I have been inside the Foreign Office, which is basically doesn't really exist in this country anymore, in Charles Street. Our policy in the Foreign Office policy since Lawrence of Arabia, since all that time, we have been anti-Israel. We've been anti-Israel. And that it, then it has really, really permeated through. And then now, because of a certain people group that are over here with an ideology that seems to think it's perfectly acceptable to then hate and want to murder a people group, that is the huge problem, massive problem that we have in this country. And remember, we are only a small nation. We fit into the great state of Texas two and a half times. That's the reality of what we're dealing with. And this is unacceptable. And when people they celebrate, and just to quickly say this, the terrorists that appalling act that this terrorist did in Manchester, his first name was Jihadi, believe it or not, as a child was born in Syria, came over. And there is reports out there on the news where it says that when the 7th of October happened, his father celebrated that. And okay. His father.
Well, I've got to cut you off right there, Mark, because we're running down here to the end of the first half of the show. I want you to keep that in your mind, though, because, you know, if you want to pick that up again, I think it's an important point to make, because there are too many celebrations, in my opinion, going on to a lot of the things that are happening in the world right now. We'll be back right after a very short break with the second half of The Last Christian. Y'all hang in there with us, and we'll be back here in just a second.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality, what the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront? Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the second half of Last Christian, our special episode with our UK correspondent, Mark Sutherland, who knows more than everyone else in the world about UK politics, especially when it has to deal with Israel. And, you know, he's a friend of Israel as well. And I just like to clarify this because we clarify it everywhere we go. There are two sides in the Christian thought on Israel. One side absolutely hates them and thinks, you know, they're the those who say that there are Jews and are not. And then there's the other side who thinks they can do nothing wrong. As with everything, it's both and. We do believe that, you know, Israel has the promises from God. That does not mean they're acting correctly at this point in time. They are apostate now, as Ezekiel clearly says, the dry bones come together, and then the next prophecy was breathing life into them. So at this point in time, the breath of God is not in them, but it will be at some point because the prophecy is there. And Jesus clearly said in Matthew 23, right at the end, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which implies that they will do that and they will repent. And then Jesus can come back and rule for 1,000 years on the throne of David. So that being said, Mark, just take it away.
No, well said. Thank you. So we have got, I want to go back to this point. This is very, very important. So we've been building up where suddenly Canada, the Prime Minister, or the man that calls himself Prime Minister of this country, many, many people in this country do not recognize him as Prime Minister. They've just had enough of him. When we've got the UK, Canada, France, Australia going, we're now one or two state solution for Palestine, okay? And as I said earlier, not flippantly, but I asked people to look into this, that Palestinianism was created in 1964. This whole thing of the right of return, the incredible Israeli lady academic, and politician Einat Wolf has written a fantastic book called The Right of Return. And this is this whole thing. And then we look at UNRWA, we look at how UNRWA is funding, the fact that UNRWA has a number of, Hamas, members of Hamas working in UNRWA. Hamas control it. Hamas know what is going on within Gaza. It comes down to them. They are the political body. That's it. So then Starmer decides to recognize Palestine and go for a two-state solution. So what does that mean? He wants to join Gaza up with what they call the West Bank. I will call it Judah and Samaria. What are they going to do? Tunnel under and join there? That doesn't go down very well. We only have to look at how many tunnels that they've actually built within Gaza, which is the equivalent of the London Underground. Look at where everyone's money has gone. This is your taxes. This is my taxes. And it has gone in to not feeding people there, but to then building tunnels underneath so that they could then use the civilians as a human shield, which they have done. And so he's decided, he then said, we're going to recognize a two-state solution. I try not to do an accent where the Prime Minister is concerned. Everyone gets into it, you know. I have decided, and we're all going, well, that's first problem, you decided something that's completely wrong. So, as we've said, under the Montevideo Convention, where are the laws? Where are the borders? Where is evidence that they have been running a state for a long period of time? It doesn't exist at all. And what we're doing, and this is the big thing that we all need to do, and it is very difficult, but you've got an incredible, incredible organization called Memory, which you need to go on. And then there is a translation of what the Arab are saying, what the Arab populations are saying in regard to their anti-Semitism and hate of Jews. Now, unlike the immigration that happened with the Ukraine-Russian war, where many Ukrainians left, they came over here and went to other parts of Europe, Egypt would not allow the population of Gaza to leave. Jordan wouldn't allow them to look at how they could hop over from what they say is the West Bank, Jordan, Samaria, into Jordan. They wouldn't allow that to happen. So we have, that's what the, it was not in their manifesto. Suddenly, because they're absolutely petrified that they're going to lose so many seats in the next election, they said, right, we're recognize the two-state solution. No, you need to release all the hostages. We need to stop this war, and then we need to negotiate that. Nothing like that. He's
hey,
just done
Mark,
that.
Can, I'm going to break in here for just a second because I want to make this point. Is the population there as anti-Semitic as it as its government or your government? I hate to say it that way, but it's true, right? Like here in the United States, for instance, if you were to get on the propaganda media and you listen to the propaganda media, America is ready to ditch Israel and going about their business, okay? But if you listen to actual Americans walking on the street, they still support Israel. So that's my question for you. Where is the United Kingdom really? Not what the media is feeding everybody, but where is the heart and soul of the population in the United Kingdom?
If we take various polls, but also chatting to people, the bottom line is that a lot of people in this country are appalled that Starmer has then recognize Palestine. They do not agree with this whatsoever, because it is then, look, it's then emboldened people that then follow Islam, and if they follow Islam to a certain eighth degree where they are not then wanting to be wonderful members of this nation, then ideologically then it is about submission. It is, we are in the house of war. And that's what's going on, and this is what we see playing out. I mean, we've got a situation in this country where lunatic politicians want to bring in a law called Islamophobia, which means you will not be able to criticize Islam. Well, I'm entitled to a phobia when I go through the historical way Islam has then conducted itself with 512 battles across the Mediterranean, across Europe. They then have a go at us over the amount of crusades that we then have, which is in a small, small comparison in regard to 512 battles, which then leads them to taking all the way up to northern Spain. We go through the Barbary Wars. We go on, we look at what happened at the gates of Vienna, where the Muslim armies are then stopped. And they are not a people group. It's an ideology. Muslims are a people group. If they then decide to follow Islam to a greater or lesser extent, but at the end of the day, Islam needs submission. Now, we are then having blasphemy laws through the back door, and this is wrong. Now, why am I, you know, any violence from any political persuasion or any religious persuasion is wrong, period. And we are doing this program on The Last Christian because it is about evangelism and people need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. That's why we're sitting down having this discussion. But when you, JD, put up points that remind me of the history of this nation and how far we have fallen, and we have fallen, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, learn from this, it deeply saddens me. Beyond words, because most people in this country did not vote for unlimited migration that has come in since 1997. We didn't do that.
I don't think anyone did.
No, and I will. No, and it's the same on your side of the pond under the Obama regime, where you've had anywhere between 4, 5, 11, maybe even 50 million people, according to J.J. Carroll in one assessment. And we over the last, you know, we're seeing thousands of people come in. We now have an army of these people in hotels up and down the country. So we'll just leave that on the table. And if you have an ideology, we have had the huge scandal yet again, really trying to expose the grooming gangs, right? Mm. Where mainly Pakistani men have been raping and sexually abusing white working class British girls. This is the reality that's been going on. The Overton window to some extent has moved where this has been talked about. And you have been in the past, and you need to do it again. You've been fighting this whole thing of voting machines, mail-in ballots. That's what we have, mail-in ballots and all this that need to stop, because this system can be abused. So now we are seeing this. And then suddenly, if you believe that you want to stop immigration coming into this country, then you're accused of being far right. You're accused of being a fascist. Then they say you're being a racist and all the rest. Mm-hmm. And I just, now all those words, I have to say, they mean nothing. They are water off the duck's back, because we're talking about the security of our nation. And when we've got a situation where men come into this country and they start grooming young girls, and then their excuse is, I didn't realize that I couldn't do this in this country, because in the culture that I come from, this is acceptable behavior. Well, when I just find it abhorrent.
Well, and then what happens? That's a really good reason to not let it happen. You know, that's a really good reason to not let it happen.
And not let them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then they get off. Then they get off with a few months in prison, where someone like Lucy Connolly. And I'm not advocating the violence or supporting that happened last year. But dear Lucy then turns around and just sends a tweet, totally, utterly frustrated. Also sent a tweet because very sadly she had lost a child within the NHS, and suing them. There'd been such a mixture of emotions. And then just seeing the state of her country, sends a tweet, retracts it, and ends up being given a 31-month prison sentence
To jump in on the tweet thing, our president, I don't remember if it was a tweet or not, but our president had a short statement anyway that said, watch out, because I'm paraphrasing, of course, the right is a lot tougher than the left. Watch out. Mm-hmm. You better stop this crap. You know, you better stop it, because at some point you're going to go too far. And when you go too far, you're in trouble. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can chime in on that one. And I'll tell you this, the Civil War did not work out well here in the United States of America, because the North was in the right and the South was in the wrong. Pure and simple. I'm just going to make it just like that. Okay. And I'm in the South. I grew up here. This is where I'm born, but I know that slavery was wrong 100%. I also know that there's not a single slave still alive today in the United States that's being enslaved by. And I also know this, that there were also black slave owners. They don't want to talk about that. They also don't want to talk about the fact that slavery actually came from Africa, as far as over here goes. I'm not talking about Israel.
And Muslims have more slaves than anyone ever.
Right. I'm not talking about any of that. But here's the point. This time around, the conservatives are in the right. This time around, the South happens to be more conservative than the North. If there was another civil war, Trump's right. We're tougher than they are. They're going to have to get over it, because we will win. So do not push it too far. And I'm not saying violence, people. Okay, I'm not asking for violence. As a matter of fact, I'm saying please don't let it happen. But I'm directing that please don't let it happen directly where it deserves to be. That's on the left, and specifically that's on the Democrats. The Democrats are to blame for all of this, because they keep using those same words, fascist, Hitler, okay,
just seen that play out again, because as it led up to the your presidential election last November, it was like, Donald Trump's a fascist, he's a Nazi, you know, written Mein Kampf. I mean, I never heard that one, but I might as well have said it. And so there's all that. Well, that kind of attitude has now just come over to this country. We've just had the Labour Party conference, and they're all having a go at Nigel Farage. I'll just put it out there. And the comments that are made, in other words, you put this out into the public sphere, and it stirs up thought. And it's like with the awful, awful assassination of Charlie Kirk. I don't want to get into certain things, but we look at, sadly, the man that they've arrested for committing that heinous act. You look in his background, what has happened here. Why are there a number of shootings that have gone on recently in America? Yeah. And it's people that are confused by the whole transgender ideology.
I agree.
That's there. Then what's happened is over here, you start having a go at Nigel Farage. You then cut down his personal security that's paid by the government, I believe, by 75%. And then people individually, they're raising money to pay for it. I mean, this is mad. You are then asking or encouraging some lunatic to then, I think it's called Scotastic terrorism, where you put a word out there, you put verbiage or paragraphs out there, where you were encouraging a particular act. And this is really, really, really irresponsible. The Bible is very, very clear where it says bearing false witness. I know that one, and I'm sure, and I know that you two do, where it's bearing false witness. People think, oh, we're going to keep chucking this mud and it's going to stick and there must be truth in this and all this kind of baloney. So we've got that, but it's irresponsible in our political class. And then when this incident happened in Manchester and the Deputy Prime Minister goes there and is going to give a speech and like others, and then they wonder why they get booed. Well, they wonder why that the dear Jewish community in Manchester absolutely spoke up, absolutely lumped him and said, this, you have, which I thought was wonderful personally, and just saying, you have blood on your hands.
You have blood on your hands.
You have been, if we take this whole thing, you've got a stove, we've got to fill it with wood, or you've got to put coal in it, and you have been stoking this. Now, in Europe, I believe in France and Germany, they had stopped a lot of these pro-Palestine marches. I actually call them hate. I think they're hate marches. They are anti Semitic and all the rest, or even hating the country that they're benefited from.
They hate America.
The concern is, sort of just finally in this last minute then, the concern is that if these marches are then banned, does it then give the governmental authority to ban any march? Because protest in this country is important, being able to exercise that within, I mean... You know, we basically have mob rule under a democracy.
I'm going to let David kick here in a second. But, you know, you talk about protest. Okay, I'm all for peaceful protest. You look at what happened after Charlie Kirk was executed. I call it executed and not assassinated. Yeah. But anyway, after he was executed, you didn't see cars burning. You didn't see homes burning. You didn't see buildings burning. You didn't see any of that. Instead, you saw a very peaceful group of people getting together and offering prayer. Now, you have a felon that is killed. From what I understand, he would have died anyway, but I'm not even going to say the man's name. But he was killed by a law enforcement officer, and all of a sudden, they're going to burn down buildings, burn out cars, assault people, and everything else. Yeah. Okay, there's a difference between a peaceful protest and something like that, which is a riot. And I believe they ought to break out the water cannons. I think they ought to be putting people in jail for a long period of time if they do that. David, go ahead. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, it's appalling in what they do. And they know they're gaslighting people, and they know they're setting them up. But I think for good, bad, or ugly, Trump is also playing that game by saying, oh, you know, the right's a lot tougher, which is basically a call to say, you know what, it's time for us to stand up and to take care of business yeah. and to bring righteousness
Very
back.
Possible.
And if that takes certain acts that you were not supposed to promote, well, then so be it, because mm-hmm. these people aren't going to stop. And, you know, the Bible is clear. If you look through all the whole history, there are times when God said, listen, you need to destroy these people, because if you don't, they will actually come back and destroy you. Mm-hmm. So when at all possible, you live in peace together. But mm-hmm. with Islam and Hamas and all this, it is literally not possible. Their whole MO, their religious theme is to destroy everyone else and every other religion and take control. If you actually sit and ask any of them, they'll tell you that too. And then they'll laugh. Oh, you guys aren't having babies and we're having lots of babies and we're going to take over. And then it's going to be Sharia law. And what can you do? This is their goal, folks. And they're going into every single country in the world. So it's not like it's just here and they're refugees. They're looking to take over the world. Because the devil knows his time is short, so he's sending all his minions out. The good thing is that Jesus will rule and reign in that, and many of those people, a goodly some of those, will repent and realize the evil that they're perpetrating, and then Jesus will have the last laugh then as well.
Absolutely, and I just want to go back to the point you were making about slavery, both of you. You know, we as a nation, we abolished slavery and we virtually went bankrupt as a nation because we put our navy and other resources out to stop that around the world. And people need, you know, we need to remember that in the fact that they constantly want to revise our history, call us colonialists and all the awful things that they think that we have actually done. Now, at times, was the empire perfect? No, but we did a heck of a lot of good things as well. And we need to, people need to remember that. But the problem is, and this happens in America, because civics is not properly taught on your side of the pond either. When, you know, you have that strong tradition, because within your system, each individual American has a responsibility to play their part in the political system, whether that's being on a school board, whatever it is, you know,
just to vote.
Yeah, well, to vote. You're all there to protect the republic. And the other, I mean, I did a show I just done recently where I was chatting to a friend of mine who's an ex-major in the British Army and was talking about, I don't think at the moment that we have really got the mental fortitude to get together as a nation and push through and win. And that is rather, rather concerning, because it's what the enemy wants, David, I think, what the enemy wants, which is, of course, to break down nations, to then have a one world government system. And we all know how this is going to go, because the more pressure they're piling on Israel, they're saying, well, we've got to get rid of Israel. Israel is the country that's the pariah that is causing all the havoc in the whole of the world. And we've got to get rid of it. And we can see what is going to be coming here as it, you know, more and more these kind of comments are going to be pushed into the public debate, into the lexicon. You know, and on a personal level, I have to say that when I had the privilege of being in Jerusalem in May, the first time I'd ever been to Israel, what a privilege that was, is that I feel far safer there than I do at here. You know, as soon as this shooting happens in Manchester, we've got a bunch of young idiots to me in Edinburgh and Glasgow mm-hmm. and other places around the world going from the river to the sea, which they can't name what river and what sea. But this is mm-hmm. just awful. Have they actually worked out, have they thought about the actions that happened on the 7th of October?
No.
Well, they have, but they can't then, well, thought about them, but just dismiss them, as we've seen the denial. But anyway, David and JD, that is, we are in a heck of a mess over here. I didn't vote for it. I didn't ask for it. However, God is God, I believe, is deeply judging this nation. Mm-hmm. We've had appalling weather. Nothing seems to, at times, or in certain parts of it, fantastic. But nothing seems to be going right whatsoever for this nation.
I'm going to put this up. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is just some bullet points that I had for the show. But what I really want to focus on is at the very bottom, the final prophetic mm-hmm. insight here. Because as the sun sets on the United Kingdom, the dawn of Christ's kingdom draws near. So the fall of these earthly thrones is just a prelude to the rise of the eternal one. And, you know, not only does that apply over there in the United Kingdom, that applies here in the United States. And for people that don't understand, it applies everywhere. Everywhere. So be ready, people. That's all I can tell you. Be ready.
I agree.
David, why don't you go ahead and take us out of the show? People know it's going to be about 2.5 minutes.
Okay. I don't need that long.
Yeah, seeing as how I flash.
Here's the deal. You screwed up.
Yeah, I'm good at that. I screw up every show.
No, no, we all did. Ollie is out there. Everybody out there. Hey, what? Look, over here. You suck. Jesus still loves you, and he came to pay off your debt. Okay, amen. You owe a debt to society,
amen.
And that's really what it is. There's a lot of things in his contract. If you look at it, the Bible, among other things, among being a quantum physics book, yes, I dare you to challenge me on that. Among being a creation book, a science book, a mathematic book, a history book, it is also a legal document.
Amen.
Okay, and we see. This legal document will even play out in the scroll of Revelation at the end of the age. That's all. Everything has to be done by contract. You know, when God created the plants, he wrote out a contract. Okay, you are going to grow and you're going to multiply and you're going to produce fruit that has seed in it. And that's what you're going to do. All right, you birds, you're going to fly through the air. You fish, you're going to swim in the water. You cows, you're going to eat their grass. And you're going to be delicious steaks for my beautiful sons and daughters. So with being everything as a contract, mankind had a contract. And that was to take dominion over all the things he created, to multiply and be fruitful, and to don't eat that because it's not good. Or eating that basically consisted of trying to be God without God. And this is where we are now. The world is trying to be their own God and their own moral compass and their own everything. Well, the wages of sin is death. Those are the terms and conditions of the contract. And it has to be paid off by a man. That's why Jesus had to become a man in order to be the substitute. The propitiation is what that's what that word means. He's the substitute. He paid it off for you. So it's real simple. You don't accept Jesus in my heart and all this little flu stuff. You need to accept the contract that he wrote in his blood, and then you can be in eternity with us. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. Remember, this program is only made possible by the support of people just like you. We receive no outside funding or corporate backing. Everything we do is sustained by those who believe in our mission to speak truth, stand boldly for Christ, and proclaim the gospel in these final days. Your partnership makes a real difference. A single monetary gift helps keep us on the air, while monthly and annual commitments give us the steady foundation to expand our outreach and reach more souls with God's word. You can also stand with us simply by shopping with our affiliate partners. That's just another way to ensure this ministry remains strong and uncompromised. To learn more or to join us as a partner, visit lastchristian.net. Again, that's lastchristian.net. Until tomorrow night, thank you, good night, and God bless.
If you are hungry to learn more about Bible scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture, the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.